This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent... That's a hard word, Chris. All right, a magnificent Friday. We have to talk about many different things. Look, like I said, the questions were about as good as it gets. Are they going to use another pandemic? We're going to talk about Iwo Jima, not necessarily that, rebuilding it. We're going to talk about grits, all that and more. It's the final hour of a Friday. It's time to cut loose on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's do this one. Hey, Jesse, a few nights ago you told the story of the terrible battle of Iwo Jima. Why did the U.S. give it back to Japan after the war ended? And then he says, please send me your little red book. I know he just put that in there to troll you, Chris. I do have to remind you, I can't send you the little red book. You have to go to jessekelly.com and put in your email address. That's all it takes. It's actually faster and easier than emailing Chris and asking for it. jessekelly.com, you put in your email address, and voila, it just shows up. All right? Totally free. Not a scam. It's a little booklet I think you will enjoy. All right? Now, why did we give it back to Japan after the war ended? For a variety of reasons. One of the main ones is we here in the United States of America, in my opinion, we've had a view of ourselves that we shouldn't even desire to have. And here's what I mean by that. America itself was founded by Christians. That's who founded America. People came over from England. They were overwhelmingly Christian, different sects of Christianity, but they were overwhelmingly Christian. They wanted to worship freely and start a new life and those things. That was our founding. Our founding fathers, virtually all of them, Christians. They believed, and in fact, I know no one told you this in school, it's all a separation of church and state. You had to be a Christian to hold office in the United States of America early on. That was a requirement. Now, what does that mean? That's not about you and what you believe. But off of that, we wanted to see ourselves as more Christian than how other countries operate. We do things in more of a way that Jesus would do things. And if you understand that about how we've always seen ourselves, it'll help you understand so much of American history. For instance, the conquest of Western United States and Eastern United States, where the Indians were living. All kinds of different Indian tribes, you name it. North, south, east, west, there were Indian tribes all over the country. Well, we had a lot more people coming in. That's a lot of land you guys have. There's a lot of value in that land. I want it. Instead of just accepting and understanding that you are conquering America, which is what we did, instead, Americans, even at the time, this isn't the modern thing, bent over backwards to conquer it, but not really. Hey, we'll pay you for a portion of it, and you can stay over there, and we're going to give you some missionaries and some medical care, and we'll have all right, let's have an agreement. All right, we're going to go back on that agreement. Why all the hand-wringing? Why do we even have Indian reservations to this day? Why is that a thing? Indian reservations are a disaster to this day. All of them are. alcoholism, drug abuse, they're horrible, horrible places. Like virtually everything subsidized by the federal government. It shouldn't exist. All those people should melt into the population and just be Americans like the rest of us. Instead, to this day, we have Indian reservations. Why? We've always been uncomfortable with the concept of just conquering lands. But that's how all the world works. You conquer lands. After the Spanish-American War, you know, that was the war that we fought in Cuba. That was the one Teddy Roosevelt, we fought in Cuba. That was just for you non-history types, we fought a war against Spain in Cuba. We won. After that, we controlled Cuba. But we also got the Philippines from that. Now, we wanted the Philippines. The Philippines are rich in resources, absolutely rich in resources. We wanted to keep them. The Filipino people, they thought they were finally done with all this colonial stuff. They finally thought, well, the Spanish are leaving, we're free. And then America said, let's pause on that. Free? We kind of want it. We fought, I've talked about this before, I did a history episode on this before, this kind of nasty little, what it turned into this little guerrilla war over there. But it was one we were winning, and we were going to win, but we felt icky about it. We didn't feel right about it. So what happened? We decided, you know what? We're not going to conquer this place. In fact, we'll just work with these people. We'll essentially give them their country back. And by the time World War II broke out, we had an amazing relationship with the Philippines where there was a huge American presence there. There were American businesses there, Americans all over the place, but we weren't running it. The Filipino people were running it. We were just kind of partners. Our militaries trained together. It was just, we let them have it. Hey, we're going to stick around if that's okay. We'll leave if you want, but you guys can have it back. We weren't comfortable just taking it. The United States of America has always been unbelievably uncomfortable taking land. Today, you'll see, because the American right, they're the patriots. Everyone knows the left hates the country. We'll set that aside. But the American right, when I bring up Indians, the American right, for the longest time, their line used to be, well, we didn't take it from them. We bought it. And we came to it. No, we didn't. We took it from them. Stop. We conquered it. And that's fine. That's how lands are done. After World War II, we fight this titanic struggle against Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan and all the barbarism and horrible things that happened in World War II. And we launched logistically, I brought up logistics earlier in the show, we projected power all across the globe, supplied our troops, we put so much into it. Then, after that, we just gave Japan back to the Japanese. Not only did we give it back to them, yes, we moved in for a while, but not to conquer it, to help them set up and rebuild their country again since we bombed it to smithereens. Hey, a little rough around here. I think we will move in and we'll help you establish a new, better government. We clearly have some rebuilding to do around the cities, but we're going to help you. Now, you can criticize that all day long. That's fine. But where are we today? We're less than a century removed from World War II. Remember that. Isn't that crazy to think about? It's 80 years ago. We're less than a century removed. I don't know that we have a better friend on planet Earth than Japan. They're not only a friend to the United States of America, they are a critical strategic ally when it comes to keeping China in check. It's an insanely safe, wonderful country to visit because they haven't allowed foreign barbarians to come in there en masse. Japan is still for the Japanese for the most part. Now, look, they're not all big on free speech and whatnot. Don't get me wrong. It's not America. I don't know that I'd want to live there, but I'm going. I'm going to visit again. I've been there. I love it. I love the Japanese people. Love them. I'm going again. Why? Because instead of conquering them, subjugating them, after we had defeated them, we said, hey, we are going to run some things for a while. Yeah, we're going to get a favorable trade agreement here. no, you're not allowed to do this, and no, you're not allowed to do that, but we're going to be here for you. We're going to build that school again. We're going to make sure you have a government in place. We're going to make sure the country doesn't have a million rebellions and civil wars in the wake of the World War II catastrophe. We're going to be here, and we're going to pick you up and get you back on your feet. Now, it's very common when you get questions like this. It's a great question, by the way. It's a common human emotion when you win, when it's a nasty fight especially, and you win, hey, stomp them into the ground. If you get in a fight with somebody, let's say you're a young man. If you're older, please don't get in fights anymore. At least try to avoid them. If you're a young man and you end up trading hands with somebody, and you win, help him up when he's done. Help him up. You'll find that instead of having a mortal enemy, you might have a best friend for life. For life. It's happened many, many times before. It's a better way to live life. All right? All right. Are they going to use another pandemic? Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Enough of that Smashing Pumpkins. Let's get some real music in here.
I'm gonna de-ice our neighborhood, invite our neighbors in. We're gonna heal this world with love. Tear down the fences.
It's beautiful. Jesse, I've been reading a lot recently about other pandemics. You think they'll try to spread another pandemic before the midterm elections? I think this. The elites, the globalist communists who have collaborated to destroy Western civilization, they've made incredible gains over the years. And they made incredible gains during COVID. But they also, while they made gains, they made critical errors. And if I had to boil it down to one basic thing, the critical error they made during COVID was they went too far. They couldn't control their demonic impulses. They could have gotten away with a lot more than they did in the minds of the people if they hadn't kept pushing and kept pushing and kept pushing. They pushed it too far. The end result was this. Human beings, when you are citizens of a country, you should always feel a connection to your institutions. Your institutions should care for your country. They really should prop it up, train the next generation of leaders. Your institutions should be something you can trust. That's an important part of having a country. If the institutions violate your trust too much, that trust gets severed, you see. Now, that is disastrous for both sides. It's not just for the people who no longer have institutions they can trust. The institution loses its power if the people don't think the institution is legitimate anymore. To make it about pandemics, before COVID, the trust levels in the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, they were through the roof. Through the roof. It was hard to find an American who didn't think highly of the CDC. Why? Well, even if you didn't know much about it or how it was run or anything else, you just thought it was it's just a bunch of doctors and scientists keeping us safe, right? They're going to try to keep diseases out. And if we ever get a disease, they're just going to tell us how to fix it, to tell me what to do. Then the Center for Disease Control during COVID was revealed to be run by communist tyrants who wanted to destroy your life, your education, your health, your economy, and everything else. Well, that may have been good for the CDC during COVID, where you got all this power and you used all this power. But the end result of that for the CDC was, are you ever going to listen to them again? Every time I see a notice from the CDC now, hey, there's an outbreak of Ebola plus 12 in Zimbabwe, and it could come here. It doesn't matter what the notification is, I roll my eyes. Now, those could be real. How would I know? But You, CDC, violated my trust so much that you don't have my trust anymore. But my trust was the power, you see. The institutions, the power they have, is the trust the people give them. If that trust is violated, if that cord is severed, and it has been for virtually all of our institutions, then the institution itself loses power. They need it. It's their fuel that keeps them going. They can't sell another pandemic right now. And that's actually incredibly scary because pandemics are real, some of them, historically. Pandemics, when they get rolling, can wipe out huge segments of the population. Now, we generally don't have a ton of that in America because of sanitation here. Our garbage removal, our sewage removal, our understanding of bacteria, washing hands, these little things aren't little things. They keep a nation alive during a pandemic. What happens? What are the populations that get totally wiped out when Ebola hits? It's some third world African village where everyone drinks out of the same well and they don't have all the antibacterial stuff and they don't have the medical care and they don't have the sewage removal stuff. And so everybody essentially lives in a big petri dish. Oh no, the whole village is dead. We don't live like that here because we live in a very modern country. I think that there will come a day where they try to sell another pandemic to us. I think that day is going to be a very, very long way away. Too much trust has been violated too many times. I think it's a long way away. Hey, Bronconator, when it comes to journalists on Republican news channels and podcasts, can you explain to me why they all don't seem to get the communist concept? They're always asking things like, I don't understand why they're doing that. Don't they know it's wrong? Don't they know shutting down the government will make it so our troops don't get paid? On and on, the guy says. Are they really that blind to the communist intent? Well, you want to know the truth? The ugly truth of what you just asked me? Because you know the truth. You understand that communists are evil, that communists are trying to destroy things. It's not accidental. You understand that, well, this.
DeCarlos Brown is a household name after police say he stabbed Irina Zarutska to death on the light rail in Charlotte last summer. But he spent most of his adult life in and out of trouble and had a stint in state prison after being convicted of robbery with a dangerous weapon in 2015. Brown.
Democrats let that guy out of prison because they wanted him to murder people again. You know that. So why do so many podcasters and conservative news organizations play dumb? Didn't they know? I'll give you the hard truth. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now, back to the question, and I'm about to give it to you right between the eyes in case you're just now joining us. The guy asked, it's asked Dr. Jesse Friday, why do so many right-leaning podcasts and news channels always ask things like, I don't understand why they're doing this. Don't they know it's wrong? I don't understand. Why would Ma'am Donnie do this in New York City? Doesn't he know it will hurt people? And because you obviously know how the communist thinks, they seem naive to you. Well, some of them are naive. I'll clarify. That'll actually soften the blow. That's the best part of this. Some of them are naive. You ready? I talk for a living now. You know what I used to do. You know that. I was a Marine and worked construction and sold RVs. And I lived a very normal life up to about 7 years ago when I got unbelievably lucky. And boom, here I am talking to the entire country. I talk into a microphone and screw off for a living. And I do things like this, and they pay me for it. They pay me for it. When I am out in public, people now recognize me as if I'm some celebrity, and they ask to take pictures with me. On a very, very small level, I am now famous because I talk into a microphone for a living. You bust your butt. I talk for a living. It's nothing. People want to do this for a living. People want to talk into a microphone for a living. They want to talk into a camera for a living. And because so many people want to do it, you are inevitably going to get a bunch of people who do it, who don't believe anything they're talking about. They don't put any thought into it. They're not interested in saving the country or preserving a better America. And if all the incentives for them were to flip sides and start acting like a Democrat, they would do it like that in a heartbeat. They know how to sell it. They don't believe in anything. How many people do you listen to or do you watch? Do you think genuinely get stressed out about the state of the country when they're off the air? How many? I know I do. Chris, that's not the point. Chris has to be here with me. That's not the point. And by the way, I'm not saying everyone's a fraud. Not at all. There are wonderful, genuine people. Wonderful, genuine people. I'm not doing that. Everyone but me is fake. Not at all. But the ones who are playing dumb, they know that's the line they have to take. That's the line you have to take to stay on the news. That's the line people want to hear. They've never thought about it in any amount of depth. They don't want to learn how evil these people are. It's just easier to do the playing dumb thing. I wish Ma'am Donnie knew that it was evil and it wouldn't work. Doesn't he know that the rich people will leave New York City and it will hurt people? Yes, he knows. Can we please stop doing the toddler understanding of politics things? He's well aware. He's an evil, demonic communist who lies about everything all the time, and he is out to conquer not just New York City, New York State itself, and if he's able, and he's not, but if he is able, he will conquer the United States of America and have people dying en masse in this country. That is what he believes in. That is what he desires, and he will work for the rest of his natural life to make that happen. Can we please stop doing that? I wish he knew thing, but it keeps you on TV. You know, I just wish this Ma'am Donnie guy, I wish Chuck Schumer, I wish he would be honest. It isn't anything like Jim Crow.
We've got to get this done, and we've got to get it done very quickly. The SAVE Act is an abomination. It's Jim Crow 2.0 across the country. We are going to do.
But Jim Crow was when black people were segregated. He knows. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. He lies about everything all the time. Here was Jamie Raskin, speaking of which.
What's wrong with the SAVE Act? What's wrong with it is that it might violate the 19th Amendment, which gives women the right to vote, because you've got to show.
I'm all on board with it now, but. But that's not true. Women can get ID. What's it? He knows. He knows. Don't play dumb because they play dumb. Here's Frederica Wilson talking about sending Haitians back to Haiti.
They are terrorized. Haitian nationals. This is cruelty. This is inhumane. And this is a death sentence. Because we already know the consequences. Because in Haiti, there's open warfare and rape. There's ravaging violence.
Warfare and rape by Haitians. But if we keep Haitians here, then it'll make things worse here. Doesn't she know? She knows. I promise you, she knows. I promise you, Frederica Wilson does not want to live, work, or worship, and will not live, work, and worship around any Haitians. Maybe she'll pass one on the road. She knows that they'll be in your community, not hers. Hey, Jesse, I haven't dated much in the last 20 years, but I've recently began dating a dime that I actually see a future with. How about that? I have no idea what to do for our first Valentine's Day, but I want to make a good impression. Any thoughts from the Oracle? I got a thought for you. Don't laugh, Chris. This is dead. No, it's not dumb. It's dead serious. You ready for this? Make her something. Make her something. For one, eating out is unbelievably expensive. But setting that aside, let's assume you're okay on money-wise. It doesn't take that much effort to make a steak anymore. It's easy. Make her a steak. Make her spaghetti. Make her. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be fancy. That's it. Make her something. Making something shows a bit of an extra effort. And I say that because, you know, so yesterday was Ob's birthday. I have to tell you this. I can't believe I forgot to tell you this earlier. Yesterday was Ob's birthday. And I told the boys a week ahead of time, your mother's birthday is coming. I then told them, I think it was 3 days before her birthday, your mother's birthday is coming. I then told them the day before her birthday, your mother's birthday is tomorrow. My youngest totally forgets and doesn't get her a single thing. My oldest, this one may be better than the youngest. My oldest got her a prepaid credit card. And it's not just that. No. Maybe you're thinking, okay, it's a thoughtless gift. He bragged to me about it. You could see him puffing out his chest. He thought he nailed that one. Dad, I got her a MasterCard for Christmas or for her birthday. Oh, that's great. Jesse, Trump's always been a master at getting his message directly to the American public. Why has he never once mentioned to us that actually removing by force 30 to 50 million illegals who do not want to leave, coupled with the violent inclinations of the modern leftist protesters, will result in thousands of deaths? Trump knows this, but acts as if every time one of these animals is killed, it's a tragedy. Did he ever really intend mass deportations? No, Donald Trump does not want mass deportations. Donald Trump has said repeatedly over and over again he wants to deport rapists and murderers, and then he'll get up behind the microphone and he'll say, well, we can't deport the farmers. I mean, we need the farm and the hospitality workers. Donald Trump is to the left of you on immigration. Donald Trump is to the left of you on immigration. Donald Trump is to the left of you on immigration. He's what we have right now. He's step one. The next guy, whoever that is, with our prompting, will be better. And the one after him will be better. Except that he's step one. We'll get a bunch of murderers and rapists out. He's made wonderful strides when it comes to immigration. He's not near enough. But he doesn't have to be. He's getting the ball rolling. All right? Let's get the ball rolling on your cell phone plan. In fact, let's get the ball rolling on saving you money. You don't want to spend what you spend on your cell phone bill. You want to know how to beat inflation? Find ways to save money. When I switched from T-Mobile, we had four lines in my house. When I switched from T-Mobile, my cell phone bill got cut in half. We have Pure Talk. When you dial #250 and you say Jesse Kelly, you not only are going to start saving money, you keep your phone, you keep your number, or you can get new ones, by the way. You get to speak to an American who speaks English. That's the beauty of Pure Talk. They prioritize Americans. Pick up your phone. Do it now. Do it during the break. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Now's the time. Switch to Pure Talk. We're talking $25 a month. Talk, text, plenty of data. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. You can email us while we're gone. Just over the weekend, I'll be back on Monday for Medal of Honor Monday. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Also, let's walk through this together. We want to be respectful.
Hence the name, Eta Nona Wastina. It translates to where they lived good and beautiful lives. Learning to say the name is just a small way we can all be accountable to healing our relationship with our nation's first peoples. So let's go. Try it with me. Etta Nona Huastina.
Etta.
Etta Nona Huastina.
Huastina.
Etta Nona Huastina.
Nona Huastina. Chris, you didn't say it one time again. No, you didn't. No, in your head isn't enough, Chris. You have to voice it for the first peoples. You know what? We'll try again. Let's see if you can get it right this time, Chris. The first peoples are listening.
Hence the name, Etta Nona Huastina.
Not the Jews, Chris. The first people, the Indians.
Hence the name, Etta Nona Huastina. It translates to where they lived good and beautiful lives.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Jesse, I have a couple questions. Why do you call Kamala Harris Dome? What drives you to your two main concerns when voting, being a border hawk and an anti-abortion right to life person? Says I can say her name. Her name is Orlinda. That's kind of a cool name, Orlinda. Well, I think the foreigners part is obvious. If you change the peoples of a country, you change the country. We do not have magic soil. Our laws are not magic either. Americans have a unique culture that is wonderful. You, an American, no matter your color, you have every right to want to protect your culture from masses of foreign barbarians who want to come in and bring their culture with them. Their culture can stay in their garbage country, and American culture can stay American. Your demographics really are destiny. They absolutely are. So that's one. Two, I am a horrible person. However, I do not like when defenseless people, when weaker people are bullied and mistreated. And there is nobody more defenseless than a baby in its mother's womb. It has no defenses. There is nothing it can do to protect itself. Its mother exists for that purpose. That we have twisted the minds of so many women in this country to believe they should exterminate. She is the protector. And instead, they exterminate their babies en masse. I think it's not just obviously horrible and sinful and wrong and evil. That's the best way I can describe this. It is the most lopsided, strong versus weak I think I've ever seen in my life. The baby has nothing, no defense. We have to stop doing this to the baby and to the mothers, by the way. Oh, and another thing that drives that is I've known many women who've had an abortion. Maybe you yourself have had one. They are ravaged by guilt, most of them, for the rest of their lives. Ravaged by it. I know we see them on the news when you get these dirty commie freak demons. I had 15 and I'm proud of it. Personally, in my life, I feel terrible for the women I've met who've had them because they carry that with them all the time. They just get carried around with you all the time. It's just as bad for them. Jesse, so the German strategist Clausewitz said war is fought on two sides, the tactical side and propaganda side. Let's say Trump withdrew completely from Minneapolis. Does he suddenly deny the Dems the ability to create propaganda such as we've come out during these demonstrations? No. No. He may tamp it down a little bit, but the communists are going to find a way to make a splash of some kind every single day for the rest of Trump's term and certainly leading up to the midterms. You can do everything right. Remember, in Minneapolis, the officers were doing everything right. The officers were 0% at fault. You find where the bad guys are. You bring in overwhelming numbers. You surround them. You arrest them. You bring them out. If the local police won't hand you the illegals, that's the only chance you have to go do it. We're not at, well, they have a little culpability and they have a little. The officers are 0% at fault. This was 100% on the communists. It was a communist op, and at least visually, it was a little successful. It was. Jesse, it sounded like you would be prepared to offer Susan Collins a pass if she did not support the SAVE Act. I know she's in a blue state and needs to be left-leaning. However, wouldn't it be to her advantage to reduce voter fraud and make that three-legged stool wobbly a bit? You're not wrong about that at all. It would be the smart move politically for Susan Collins to want people to have to show ID to vote. However, I am much harder on red state Republicans who don't have to stress about keeping their seat than I am Susan Collins. It's not that I'm a Susan Collins fan. Not at all. I demand more of her. I demand less of her. I demand more of Lo-T Langford. I demand more of a South Carolina senator or a Louisiana senator or a Texas senator, a Utah senator. They should be the most hardcore, fire-breathing right-wingers. She is understandable. Them, they're pathetic. Now, put your phone down. Go enjoy the Super Bowl. Please turn off the television when it's halftime show. Go watch the Turning Point USA halftime show, and I will see you on Monday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.